This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendorfus, the Old Trailblazer. Kind of hoarse a little bit this morning. Maybe been out in the dampness at night. We're looking at a study on demon possession. And in our last study, we gave you some evidences of being filled with the Spirit of God. When the Lord saves a sinner, the Holy Spirit comes in to dwell. It's not an experience. It's just the Lord doing His work. It's not speaking in tongues. It's not doing all those things, No, it's being filled with the Spirit, and then the Spirit leads us and guides us day by day if you let Him. Don't run ahead of the Spirit, my friend. Oh, now, let me give you one more evidence. We're about to finish this section. One more evidence, and it's set forth in God's Word. That is something that we mention oftentimes. The Holy Spirit always, get this now, always addresses Jesus as Lord. As Lord. You don't think that's important? If you met Queen Elizabeth, you wouldn't say, "How you doing, Elizabeth?" would you? But just think how many folks, "Well, Jesus is the reason for the season," and all of those things, and t-shirts and stuff on the back of your car, and all of those things. All of us degraded our Lord down to plain and simple Jesus. But my friend, the Bible says, "Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall call Him Lord." Oh, one of those evidences of being saved is that that individual, no matter what strata of life he finds himself in, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. These people who constantly call the Lord Jesus by the name Jesus know nothing. They know nothing of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus, whom you call Jesus, is not on the same level as you are. You meet your friends, "How you doing, Tom? How you doing, Joe? How you doing, Bob?" You don't say that about the Lord. "Well, Jesus sent me." No. Listen, you can only call Jesus Lord by the Holy Spirit. And the born-again, baptized, Spirit-filled believer always calls Him Lord and speaks of Him as Lord, addresses Him as Lord, prays to Him as Lord, and rejoicing in Him as the Lord of his life. And I hear these radio preachers and television preachers, when they pray, they always end their prayer with "Sweet Jesus. Thank you, sweet Jesus. Thank you." That's abomination. Did you know I actually fear? I actually tremble when I hear those things. Listen, what we should ask today of our radio audience, and we have a large radio audience from all indication, I ask you, are you saved? Take time out right here to ask you if you're saved. Do you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Did you know you will come to know Christ as Lord long before you will know Him as your Savior? You will. The thief on the cross addressed Him as Lord. "Lord, remember me." Listen. Do you call Him Lord in your heart? Is He yours? He's mine. Oh, I wish I could say that my audience knew the Lord. No, but I can't. I can't. The vast majority know nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we want to turn at this time, I've been promising you, a study on baptism with a demon spirit. We've been looking at baptism with the Holy Spirit. And we're now going to speak about baptism with a demon spirit. I mentioned in a study or two past that I have a section of a book by Dr. Ironside, Brother Ironside. And he had a chapter in that book going back where he personally had gone to a meeting where there on Azusa Street in Los Angeles, California, back when that movement began, that I don't want to call it Pentecostal because it wasn't at that time, but it was the tongues group, those who begin where they begin. I have those 4 or 5 pages. If you write me, I'll mail it to you. It just asked me for the pamphlet on by Dr. Ironside. At this time, I want to begin, take several messages to bring you on this subject, baptism with a demon spirit and how it's manifested. If you ever listen to a message, I want you to listen. If you've ever listened, I want you to listen now. If you have your Bible there, open it up you truckers, you old 18-wheeler driver, don't you open your Bible. You just keep on down the road, keep between those white lines, unless you're at a rest stop. If there's a rest stop up ahead or a way station where you could pull off there and open your Bibles at 1 Timothy chapter 1, and let's read there. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils or demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. Now I want to call your attention especially to that expression, the Spirit speaketh expressly, which means He speaks plainly and definitely. I've had folks call me, write me, and tell me, "Old Trailblazer, we appreciate you because you speak plainly. You tell it like it is. You don't mumble and grumble, and you speak right into the microphone, and we understand you completely." And that's what the Bible says here. The Spirit speaketh expressly. What good will it do you if you can't understand what I say? I've had folks sit in the back of the building on prayer meeting night, all the way in the back, especially when we were in the tabernacle. It was a big building. And I've had individuals sit on the back row. And when their time come to praise the Lord, you couldn't understand a word they said. I have just a little slight hearing problem. Some people say it's more than slight. But I hear everything in reason. But I couldn't hear this individual. And I told him one night, I said, "If you'd sit up here close, we could all hear you." But my friend, he just mumbled. So the scripture says, the Spirit speaketh expressly. Means He speaks plainly. You can understand Him. And then He says that in the latter times, and I believe that's the time that you and I are living in right now. Right now as we speak. That is in the closing days of the church age. That's right now. Some shall depart from the faith, which means they shall depart from the body of divine truth, revealed truth. Jude makes the same statement in the third verse of his message. When he talks about the common faith and falling away from the faith, he's talking about falling away from divine truth. That's what Paul is speaking of here. Some shall depart from the faith and the body of divine revealed truth. Now, if you know anything at all about the spiritual condition of our world today, of your town where you live, where I live, you can agree with me that we have fallen away from the body of truth. The Holy Spirit goes on to say that they will not only leave the body of divine truth, but they will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. Brother, you can't leave and you can't depart from the body of divine truth without turning to doctrines or teachings of demons. I remember one time a sweet lady that we know, her daughter had pulled out of the ministry where we are, going off on a stray, going off searching for something. And she came in one day and told her mother. She said, "Mother, I joined the First Baptist Church of this little town where they live." She thought it was a big deal. And her mother said, "Sugar, I joined everything it was before the Lord saved me. And when He finally called me to Him, I just trusted the Lord. I began to cling to the Lord." And it just kind of busted her bubble. She thought she'd really done something because she had joined the First Baptist Church of this town. But oh, my friend, she had left the body of divine truth. The ministry cannot turn away from the great basic doctrines as the sovereignty of God, the total depravity of man, the salvation by grace, and blood redemption in Christ, the teaching of the Bible on the Holy Spirit, and the second coming of our Lord, without turning to the doctrines of demons. Now let's go back and look at those. Salvation, first of all, sovereignty of God. Oh, folks have denied the sovereignty of God. I heard a Baptist preacher last Sunday over the radio. He said, "God would not be fair if He chose some and left others, as this sovereign bunch thinks and as this sovereign bunch preaches." Oh, my friend, how ignorant. How ignorant. I wanted to ask him, what does he do with that verse of Scripture where old Peter says, ye are a chosen generation? What does that mean, my friend? It means one day the Lord chose a number that no man can number, and I was in that number. Oh, we have done away with that. We have done away with that great truth. We've left it. Then the total depravity of man. I make this statement without fear of contradiction, that anyone who throws away, gives up on the total depravity of man, foo-foos that doctrine, will go astray on every other doctrine of God's Word. We're going to look at two or three more there in our next study. Time catches up with us so quickly, doesn't it? Oh, if I wish we could. Well, maybe I ought not to say that. I started to say, I wish our broadcast could be 30 minutes, but it costs so much money. I wish you'd help me with a little old 15-minute broadcast. We'll pick it up right there where we left. You won't even know we skipped. You won't even know we shut down. But, my friend, remember the old trailblazer when you go to prayer. You have praying folks in your home, your mother and dad. You may be listening, driving down the highway, flipped the station, and heard the old trailblazer. If your mother and dad go to church and pray, ask them to pray for the old trailblazer. Ask your pastor to pray for me when you have prayer meeting on Sunday night. And, my friend, remember my mailing address, the old trailblazer, post office box, 1810 Walker, Louisiana, 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. Goodbye, and God bless you.